And now, Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and what it means to be the wife of a famous star. Everyone who was present backstage at the Hamilton Theater just off Broadway on the night that Oliver Wilson's lifeless body was found hanging from the wings is now fighting against the strain of wondering who will be arrested for the crime. In the library of his luxurious estate on Long Island, Rupert Barlow, financial backer of the play, is having a late tea with Julia Dixon, his secretary, and for many years housekeeper of this tremendous home. As Julia sits quietly staring into the fire, Rupert says,
"You're letting your tea get cold, Julia."
"Hmm? Oh, so I am. I've forgotten all about it, Rupert."
"You'd better start paying closer attention to things around you, my dear. It's time for you to snap out of this state of listlessness and get back to your old self."
"That's the very last thing I want to do."
"Oh, now, how can you say that?"
"Because it's quite true. I've had time to think it over very carefully, Rupert. And I know now that I've been a complete fool for years. I don't intend to go back to that state again."
"Now, Julia, you're tired out and nervous. You've had a bitter shock. But you mustn't let it affect you so deeply."
"You think I should be able to laugh off this whole mess about Oliver Wilson?" "All during the play and before we joined the others backstage, Oliver was trying to persuade me to run away with him. And all the time he was married to Claudia."
"Oh, the fellow was a thorough scoundrel. I tried to point that out from the first day you brought him here, but you wouldn't listen."
"No, I wouldn't listen, Rupert. I was taken in by the man because I wanted to be taken in. I wanted to believe that such a young and handsome man would find me attractive. I know it seems incredible now, but I believed him."
"It isn't incredible in the least. You know very well that you're one of the most attractive women I know, Julia."
"So attractive that you've managed to put me off for 10 years.
"No, Julia."
"I know what you're going to say, and I won't press the matter. I'm awake now, and I know that you never intended to marry me. You just wanted me to stay on and be your faithful slave indefinitely while you go charging about having one romance after another."
"I hardly think this is the time to be accusing me of having flagrant outside interests. It was you who brought that absurd young man right here into this house. You insisted that he must remain and be treated as a guest, even though I saw through him from the very start."
"I don't believe that, Rupert. You only saw him as a possible threat to your comfortable way of life. You didn't want me to run off and marry Oliver because it would inconvenience you here at home."
"That's not true. I didn't want to see you throw yourself away on such an obviously worthless upstart."
"I wasn't the only one who was taken in by him. Please remember that."
"Well, if you mean Claudia Vincent, how can you compare yourself with her? When you know so well that she's lived for years in the hope of marrying someone with money. When you know that she tried every trick to pry money from me."
"Nevertheless, Claudia Vincent is a shrewd judge of people. She has to be, or she'd never got along so well until now."
"Well, I'd hardly say she was doing so well, Julia."
"She persuaded Larry Noble to give her a leading part in his play."
"Oh, what do you mean, his play? It's my money that made the play possible. It's Harold Ramsey who was responsible for the production. Larry Noble's only the star, yet everyone talks about it as Larry Noble's play."
"You're getting away from the subject, Rupert. I said that Claudia was clever enough to get Larry Noble to do whatever she asked. He was obviously enchanted by her. Everybody knew that."
"It's a pity you had to bring that wretched Oliver Wilson into the picture, Julia. Claudia Vincent would never have let up on Larry if she hadn't been lured by the false promise of Oliver Wilson's money."
"You'd have liked it if Larry Noble had gone on showing an interest in Claudia Vincent. Wouldn't you, Rupert? Then perhaps Mary Noble would have turned to you for sympathy."
"Don't be ridiculous, Julia."
"I know you so well. It's all happened so many times before."
"If you're referring to murder, I'd like to remind you that I've never before been involved in anything of the sort. You brought that questionable distinction into my life."
"I know it. You don't have to remind me. And you won't have to be encumbered by my troublesome behavior much longer."
"Well, now, why do you say that?"
"As soon as it's possible, Rupert, I shall leave this place. Once and for all."
"Well, don't say things like that, Julia. You know you can't mean it."
"I do mean it, Rupert. Every word."
"Oh, now, look here, Julia. Try to be reasonable. I'm doing everything I can to help you."
"It's too late for that, Rupert. There's no way anyone can help me now."
"You've got to be careful not to say things like that to anyone else. You'll have the police suspecting you."
"Don't you think they do already?"
"I don't think so."
"They're just waiting to arrest me. I'm expecting them any time.
Well, if you're careful, you won't be arrested if you keep your wits about you.
And who do you think will be arrested, Claudia?
It's possible. But I have a strong feeling that they'll arrest Larry Noble. I think he's being watched very carefully.
Larry Noble? But I don't see... Why Larry Noble?
There are a great many facts of which you may not be aware, Junior, so try to watch what you say very carefully. Now, if you'll be good enough to pour me a cup of tea.
And meantime, in nearby Rosehaven, Long Island, Larry Noble's about to leave his house to drive to New York. And we hear him say...
Well, I'll be going now, Mary. The police guard and I will leave you to your own resources.
Well, are you sure you feel well enough to go to New York, darling?
Oh, yes, I'm perfectly well.
Oh, you seem so tired, so terribly jumpy. I hate to think of you going right on day after day, acting in the play as if nothing had happened.
I'm expecting the play to close at any time. So's Harold Ramsey. I'm surprised it's kept going this long after the murder.
I think I'd almost rather have them close it down entirely. At least then you'd have that worry off your mind.
That would be very small comfort, my pet. As long as the play goes on and I'm allowed to play the lead, I'm at least free to come and go, even though I have to do it with a police escort.
I know, Larry, but the strain is awful for you. I wish they'd arrest the guilty person and have it done with. Then we could all rest more comfortably.
Could we? I wonder. Personally, I hope they go right on like this. Every day is just that much more to be thankful for.
Well, of course, Larry, I hate to think of someone we know being charged with murder, but at the same time, the police are bound to figure out the evidence and then bring in the guilty person for trial.
Your confidence in their judgment is very comforting, Mary, I should imagine. I just don't happen to share it. I'm not at all convinced they will arrest the person who actually killed Oliver Wilson.
Well, even though their doom seemed to be a great many suspects, at least you and I are above suspicion, Larry.
Oh, are we? In that case, will you please try to make the police go along with you in your belief? I really have to go now, Mary.
But, darling...
If all goes well, I'll be back after the play. If not, I'll call you, providing I'm permitted to get to a phone. Anyhow, you have Tom Bryson and Maud Marlowe here for company, so don't worry. So long, honey.
Mary stands looking through the glass at Larry as he walks to the garage. She fights down a fear that is greater than any she can remember. Meantime in New York, Harold Ramsey, producer of the play that stars Larry Noble, is talking to Sergeant Riley at headquarters. And we hear...
I want some idea of what's going on down here, Sergeant Riley. When are you going to come out and arrest the person who murdered Oliver Wilson?
Just as soon as we've sifted all the evidence and can be entirely sure, Mr. Ramsey.
Well, hang it all, it's disrupting my play. This kind of nerve strain's impossible for my cast.
I don't see why it's so tough on anybody that didn't kill the man. And I wouldn't go out of my way to make it too comfortable for the person that's guilty.
I'm not asking you to do anything of the sort, Sergeant. Just give me some idea of what your thinking is. Who appears to fit the facts? Is it someone in my play? Is it a member of the cast?
Mr. Ramsey... Maybe you've got some ideas on the subject. We're not opposed to listening to anyone with ideas, even if they don't work out. You know, in police work, you find that you track down a lot of clues that just lead you nowhere. Yeah. There's a lot more drudgery in police work than most folks ever dream of.
I'm not concerned with that, Sergeant Riley. All I want to know is whether my play is likely to continue as it is now. Or if you plan to step in and break it up.
I'd tell you if I knew, Mr. Ramsey. Right now, we're working on this case night and day. We're just as anxious to solve it as you are. More so because, well, we've got the papers and the commissioner on our necks. If I could make an arrest right this minute, you wouldn't find me sitting here at this desk.
In other words, you haven't progressed at all. You're as far away from knowing who killed that young man backstage at my theater as you were the night you found his body.
Oh, no. No, I wouldn't say that, Mr. Ramsey. We're closer to an arrest than that. A whole lot closer. Only I don't know how much you're going to like it when we do show our cards.
Harold Ramsey tries then to get an explanation of these words, but Sergeant Riley refuses to say any more. But be sure to be listening tomorrow to Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and her husband, Larry Noble, famous Broadway star.